We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, guys. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. And by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. In the wake of A-Rod Day, by the way, the banner is still not in our studios, even though it was promised to be back
Evan,
here today.
What did you do with the banner, dude?
I have no idea.
Stop. It's a lie.
The banner lasted 3 days.
The A-Rod banner is in a safe place, and it will be hung up at the appropriate time.
All right, so A-Rod Day was birthed because Evan wanted to get rid of his beard, and even though he's starting to like it, today's Cinco de Fivo is the five ways Evan can get out of his beard situation. All right,
here we go!
Number five.
You could keep it. Evan, you have accepted that your teams will never win a championship.
I like that one.
Right. This is no different. You idolize Abe Lincoln. Now you could look like him for the rest of your life. You could just keep the beard and learn to love it.
That defeats the whole purpose of the Cinco. The Cinco is how to get rid of the beard, and number five is don't get rid of the beard.
Well, because we're starting with that, and then we'll go from there. You could just keep it.
But it contradicts with the topic.
No, it does not. Instead of whining about it, you could just accept it. That's an option.
What's the name on your little sheet of what this Cinco is?
This is my list, not yours.
Number four.
You should have changed it here. Five ways Evan can mitigate his beard situation.
I don't know what the word mitigate means.
Hold on. Here's what I know. We are on SNY right now. And I'm reading their graphic, and it says, five ways Evan can get out of his beard situation.
Right. But change that get out of to mitigate his beard situation.
Right, because number five is not me getting out of my beard situation.
Then it makes sense.
This is my list. All right, number four, diet. In more ways than one, by the way, Evan. Who are you to knock fat Ranger fans? So how about once a week, right? You diet, let's say, purple 1 week, then another week, hot green. Diet.
Not like, you know, be conscious of what you're eating.
Well, it was both. It was a play on words. So you would dye your beard a color for a week for, let's say, a month. Each week, a different color for an entire month. Our choice. Would you be into that?
You guys get to pick the colors?
We pick the colors, and for 1 week, it's like hot green. The next week, it's yellow.
Great idea.
That's actually a really good idea.
Oh, so then, never mind. You're supposed to hate these. Number three.
Number three.
Let me make it clear. I don't love the idea, but I admit that it's creative, to Tiki's point. I mean, so two things can be true at the same time. I don't love it. Right. I wouldn't love it saying, I get to wear my my orange beard. Well, my hair is already orange. My pink beard today. My blue beard today. But I respect the creativity.
All right, Evan, I don't think you're going to love this one. Let's call this The Truth Shall Set You Free. We're going to go back to school, Evan. Tika loved this. I want a 1,000-word essay to be read on here on Evan and Tiki and on the Rico on why the Mets never threw a real no-hitter. 1,000 words. Johan was a one-hitter, you know it. And a combined no-hitter is stupid and peak Mets.
Also a great one.
Well, 1,000 words.
Couple of things. No chance. Another thing is both Met no-hitters will be featured in my new book, My Mets Bible, that comes out April 2nd. You can pre-order it now on Amazon.
Shameless plug.
Have some shame, exactly.
Number two.
I want that scorebook, Evan. And it's not because I want to jot down that Lindor grounded out to second. Oh, no, it's much worse. You give me that scorebook, and myself, Marash, Tiki, and five other people, we're going to take off our pants. And we're going to rub our little tuchus all over your scoreboard.
Over my scoreboard?
Our little hiney. We get to do whatever we want with it for a week. Your most prized possession besides your family is your scorebook. Well, our bare ass is going to be on your scorebook.
I have about 35 of them that are filled, so which book are you picking?
The current one that you have to use for the rest of the year.
You're going to put your bare ass on my scorebook?
So the stench of our tuchuses, by the way, will be on your scorebook for the rest of the year.
What's wrong with you?
This is supposed to be... What do you mean, what's wrong with me?
He's warped.
Thank you, dude.
You guys suck.
Number one.
All right, then you're really going to hate this one. I need you, or I want you, to get waxed. Now, what I mean by that is half of Evan's body, hear me out, you have to wax half your beard, half your chest. We're going to go Brazilian, so around the Oprah Joel, down the leg. We're going to recreate the scene from 40-year-old version. Evan's going to be a man-o-lantern. We'll bring a waxer in, or we could go to one of those places here in the city. Evan, half your body waxed. And the other caveat is it you have to walk around for, let's say, a month with half of it done.
What?
I mean, what?
My whole body?
Yep, the Brazilian, the whole thing. From the top of your dome.
Half?
All the way to your feet.
So, like, half of my head is bald, half of my head has hair.
Uh-huh.
Half of my beard has hair, half of it is clean shaven. And then same with my chest hair and then down below.
And you're a very hairy guy. So the hairier you are, the more that wax will hurt and the more we will love it. It's
actually,
really
fun. You're probably getting desensitized to the pain.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Do you accept?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Do
I mean, great content, no.
Can I at least think about all of these?
Thank you. I'll give you a sheet. And that is Cinco to 5-0, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. here on Evan and Tiki. Gary Clarkson!
Just keep the beard.
Yeah.
That was number five. You killed me for that.
I think after that, I've realized keeping the beard is the best option. By the way, the reason Sean Morash isn't here is that his feelings were hurt by me calling him hefty yesterday during my anti-Rangers rant.
Kiss my fat ass!
Nah, the real reason he was here, and these are the words of our program director, who is still our program director. Reason number one is he's not a foxhole guy.
Yeah.
And reason number two was, if he acted like an adult on Sunday, instead of screaming and drinking and being shirtless during a hockey game.
Was he really shirtless?
Shirtless, that's what I've been told. A hockey game that really only had 2 points on the line, if we're being honest with ourselves, that maybe Sean wouldn't have gotten sick and had to miss a day of work. And by the way, he didn't just miss a day of work. I am convinced he will not be in work tomorrow.
Yeah, but
I think we're missing multiple days of Sean Morash.
I mean, but being cold doesn't actually get you sick.
So what gets you sick?
Germs, viruses. So you have to be around viruses.
So he was around other sick Ranger fans?
Yeah.
Bitch, New York Ranger fan.
I mean, it makes your nose run, but it doesn't make you sick.
Yeah, Ranger fans tend to be carrying viruses around with them. Those are teachers.
Stop, it's not mine.
Stop. I didn't say that.
I'm trying to get another back page of the news.
No, I don't. Trust me. I don't want any of that. I'm done. I don't need to be yelled at by my mom or by my wife. That's for sure. All right, let's get to Soto and Alonzo real quick. We'll get back to your calls. Tiki's very good at interpreting things that are said. And so yesterday, Juan Soto met the media for the very first time. A few days earlier, Pete Alonso met the media for the first time this spring. And one thing I noticed before we play these selective clips that I picked, number one, Pete was peppered with questions about his contract.
Yeah.
I would say 90% of his introductory press conference was all questions about his contract.
Yeah, many different ways. Same question, many different ways.
Absolutely. Juan Soto was asked a grand total of 2 questions about his contract.
Right.
And by the way, I understand the difference.
Right.
I understand why it was different, but I just thought it was fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just observing that Juan Soto was barely asked about it, and Pete was asked about it 112 times.
Well, Pete Alonso is he's a lifelong Met, right? So you want him to be a lifelong Met, especially Met fans. And Met fans, when they listen to Pete talk from now until the end of the season, they're going to be hearing, or at least trying to hear, an indication of whether or not he's going to be a Met.
I get you.
So, but with Juan Soto, it's kind of like, all right, we kind of know you're here for a year. We know you're going into free agency. We
I
know
you
you're going to make a half a billion dollars more, probably, in your next contract. You're not signing it.
So I think there were two cycles here with Soto. We'll get to these clips in a second.
Yeah.
Prior to him being traded, most people around here were delusional. Like, they thought, oh, the Yankees will trade for him and be able to extend him. I argued with people about it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
I argued with Sean about it on the air. And I think a lot of people around here were just, I don't know what the word is.
They wanted to believe in the aura of the Yankees was going to make him want to be a Yankee for the rest of his career.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that and a combination of just not following the situation that closely, which I understand. Like, if you weren't following the Juan Soto situation, you figured, oh, yeah, he'll get to the Yankees, he'll sign an extension. It was never, ever happening. And Sean and I had that argument in November, long before he got here. Once he was traded here, everyone got smartened up to the fact that it's nothing personal, it's nothing against the Yankees. It doesn't mean he's not staying here. Just that Juan Soto has waited this long. He's about to become one of the hottest free agents in the history of baseball, which is true. He's going to get to free agency.
Yes.
So I think that that acceptance of Soto hitting free agency may be the other reason why he was only asked 2 questions about it. But let's start with Pete. Pete's question, and I pulled 2 of them specifically. This one was asking Pete about wanting to be a lifelong New York Met.
Can you definitively say that you want to be a lifelong Met? And also, do you believe that as the season plays out, you'll have the numbers and the production that at the end, you know, everything will work out in your favor?
I mean, I think that number one goal is just being healthy through the course of the year. I love it here. I definitely have envisioned myself of being a lifelong Met. That's something I've definitely thought about. And I love New York. It's a really special place for my family and I. And I've definitely thought of the idea. I've definitely welcomed the idea. But I can't predict the future. And for me, I just want to focus on this season. I just want to be the best person I can be. And I've sat back and listened. And just want to be the best player I can be. That's it.
How do you take that? As the biggest non-answer I've ever heard.
What do you mean? He said he wants to be a lifelong Met. Why can't you accept that?
Of course you want to be a lifelong Met. But didn't Jacob deGrom say the same thing?
It's funny you say that. I keep this on my phone as a reminder every day. Do you want to know what Jacob deGrom said?
I think it sounded almost verbatim. But not quite, because he wasn't as verbose. He's a man of lesser words, right. Jacob deGrom. Right. But I feel like it was almost exactly the same thing.
Hold on, I'm going to play it for you through my phone, okay? Because I keep this on my phone every day to remind myself what Jacob deGrom said. You ready?
And I've said it before.
Hold on, let me start from the beginning.
And I've said it before. Love being a Met. I think it would be really cool to be one for my entire career. But, you know, the plan is to exercise that option and be in constant contact in the offseason with the Mets and Steve Cohen in the front office.
Yeah.
So it's a non-answer. It's a complete non-answer.
By the way, I love Jake, but were you really in constant contact with the Mets that entire offseason?
No, not at all.
So you don't take he's gone, and you don't take he's definitely staying out of that.
I got nothing out of that. His preference would be to be here, but that's a lie.
You don't even take his preference to be here?
No, his preference is pay me, bitches. That's what he's saying.
So I want to play you a question. And again, I don't know how many people heard this press conference, but on the Rico, every Met fan listens to it. We actually went through and listened to it last night on the Rico. You could download it after the show is over. Rico Bronya, we listened to the entire Alonso press conference. What I'm about to play you is the thing that concerned many Met fans. Okay? This is the clip that made some Met fans say, he's gone. Let's see if Tiki feels the same way. First, the question from Anthony DeComo.
Just given how effusive you've been about, you know, how much you like your time here in New York, et cetera, why is sitting back and listening the right strategy for you versus maybe something a little more proactive approaching that sort of thing?
That's what I think is right.
So he got stumped.
Yeah.
He was asked, hey, if you really want to be here, what the hell's going on? Why aren't you more proactive instead of just listening? And Pete was stumped. This has caused many Met fans to think his stumpedness is proof that he can't wait to get the hell out of here.
No, I don't think so. Whew. I think what has happened in this situation is that there's a contract number that Scott Boras has either thrown out there or it's kind of been floated.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably wasn't even responded to by the Mets.
You think it was that absurd?
I do. I don't think they even considered responding to this. And so Pete knows this, obviously, but he doesn't want to undercut his team. Like, he doesn't want to say, well, they didn't offer me, you know, what we wanted. Like, he doesn't want to say anything about the negotiation.
Right.
And so the only way to answer that question would have been, oh, yeah, we've reached out and they haven't gotten back to us. But then that puts it all on the Mets.
Becomes a story, too.
It becomes a story.
What you want to do, if you're Pete Alonso, is make sure nothing becomes a story.
I actually commend him for, pausing and saying nothing. I'm being serious.
All right.
Right? Because I would have tended to want to talk. Oh, yeah, you know, it would happen, you know, just blah, 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 blah. Oh, crap.
I can see that, by the way, in Tiki's career.
Right.
He just keeps talking.
I applaud him for just saying, whatever.
Now let's get to Juan Soto, because Juan Soto is represented by the very same man, Scott Boras. He was only asked two questions about his contract. So literally, you're about to hear everything he said about his contract. The first one for Juan is this a trial run in New York?
Do you look at this as a trial run to see if you might like it here in New York with the Yankees long term?
Yeah, I mean, we gotta get to know the Yankees organization and the city and how it is to play in New York and to see and make the decision there.
Hmm. Oh, you know what that means?
That means that Sean's no booing at all has to stay in effect for the entire season.
Dude, I agree.
That's the first thing that pops in my mind.
You guys, Yankee fans,
do not boo Juan Soto at all.
You're in a really difficult, unique spot.
Yeah.
Okay, and I think Juan Soto's a great player, and I think he'll probably be fine with you guys this year. But you have a player who came to your team with rocket-high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you bring guys in with rocket-high expectations is that you boo them immediately when something bad happens. Yeah. CeCe Sabathia, Giancarlo Stanton. It's a common thing. Met fans do the same thing. We're no better. The difference between Juan Soto and every other player you've booed is that that player's locked up forever.
Yes.
This player, you dated. So if you show him your bad side
right. In
the middle of April, he could easily call up Scott and say, Scott, this ain't for me.
Yeah, this is that first impression.
Yes.
But the problem is the first impression lasts for 5 months or 6 months.
Yeah.
It's going to last for a long time.
So do you think Juan Soto threatened Yankee fans with that answer? Like, hey, I'm getting to know you. You better be nice.
Basically, yes. Because we all know what he's alluding to.
You think that's what he meant?
It's hard to play here because our fans are so educated that if you're not pulling the wool over their eyes. I didn't mess up. Oh, yeah, you did, dude. Like, we're booing you.
Yeah.
Right? So he wasn't warning them necessarily, but he was saying, I'd be interested to see how they react to me.
Interesting.
If I don't hit home runs and I walk five times in a game.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up because one of my theories.
Because that could happen.
Yeah, one of my theories about Juan Soto, he is a great baseball player. Okay, don't get me wrong when I say this, is that some of the things he does so well could cause backlash from fans. What I mean by that is his eye.
Yeah.
Like sometimes a guy who's looking for a walk pisses off fans when the expectation is for them to hit a three-run home run. And I'm not saying that's fair. I'm not saying I would do it. But I've seen this before. Like, Joey Votto in New York may have had a tough time. Because as great of an eye as he had, sometimes when he draws a walk in a spot in which you want him to hit a three-run home run, you get annoyed. That is why it is essential that Juan Soto bats second. He has to.
Right.
Because if Aaron Judge is hitting behind him, it'll mitigate any issues with him looking for a walk.
Great point.
Thank you.
Right. Because if he does... Get your bat off your shoulder, Juan. Oh, wait, never mind. Judge is coming up.
Yeah.
You're good.
I agree.
You're good.
Like,
you're good.
I think it's almost a no-brainer now. And I'm not sure Boone thinks about it that way, but I think about it that way.
I mean, when we talked to him, he sounded like he did want him to bat 2-3.
No, I think he wants him to bat second. I don't think it's for the same reason we're giving, which is, boy, you could avoid backlash by hitting him second. Because if he bats third and he's looking for walks, and Anthony Rizzo grounds into a double play, I can see it on this station the next day. You know, we're paying this guy wants $600 million, and he's looking for a walk. That's my imitation of Beningo as a Yankee fan. Anyhow, hey, Juan, did you get to talk like contract at all with the Yankees?
Chris Kirschner with The Athletic.
Chris Kirschner.
Have there been any conversations about a possible extension this offseason, or are you letting Boris handle that?
I let Scott do his thing. We've been talking throughout this offseason and everything, but definitely I let Scott do whatever he's doing. For me, I'm just focusing on 24. I'm here to play baseball. I'm focusing on playing this year and try to win as much as we can and bring a championship to New York.
It sounded a lot like Pete's answer, too.
Oh, you think that Scott's coaching them the exact same way?
100%. Deflect. Talk about the season. I want to get, because Pete said something about getting to the playoffs or earning the right to get into the playoffs.
Right.
Right? It's the same answer. It is Scott's going to smack him across the face with an offer, and then we're going to talk about it then.
Mm.
But it's not going to be until I'm a free agent. I'm worried about winning. That's all he says.
You know how youth imply that Boris probably said to the Mets, here's what we want for Pete. And it's probably something absurd. Mm-hmm. $400 million over 10 years, right? Do you even think he bothers with Soto?
No.
Because like, he won't even give him an offer.
Because why would you?
$1 billion.
Because you're
he could do that.
You're bidding against yourself.
Right.
Only. Right? When you know if you wait until the end of the season, like the bidding becomes massive.
Yeah, it's going to be massive.
And so there are probably teams that can't afford and don't even, they'll think about it at least. So, but if you do it now, you have the negotiation now, you're just talking to one team.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and also Juan Soto, more than any other player in free agency, is such a unicorn because
mm-hmm.
he's awesome.
Yeah, and he's young.
Like, I don't think Yankee fans get it yet. Like, I'm about to compliment you. I don't think you fully understand the utter brilliance that you have in your lineup right now. Like, I don't think you get it.
No.
I don't think you understand this unicorn that is walking through your door and being in your lineup. Like, he's that good. He's that awesome. And he's so young that his free agency is going to be epic. He could get $700 million. Like, my prediction I wrote down on social media this morning was 12 years, 600, which I think is reasonable. I think there's a decent chance he gets more than that. Now, who's going to be the highest bidder? I can't tell you that. I can't tell you the Yankees are going to do it or not do it. Who the hell knows? I don't know who it's going to be. Like, who would have thought A-Rod was going to go to the Texas Rangers in 2001? No one would have predicted it.
No.
I can think any team that's owned by a billionaire would say, wow, Juan Soto at that age? Yeah, we'll give him $800 million. So I think we're going to be headed a year from now into this really unique free agency. But for now, you're about to watch utter brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful.
Right.
Because Juan Soto's already warned you with some of his comments. Don't boo me. I'm the king. I run the show. Because this is so unique for you guys, Yankee fans, whether it was Jason Giambi, or it was Roger Clemens, or it was Sabathia, or it was Teixeira, or it was Garrett Cole. You name the star you acquired. Whenever you acquired a star, you had them. You were married to them. So you could boo them all day. And guess what? They were signed long-term. They were going to be on your team. This is the first time where you've lost all your power. All your power's gone. He has the power.
Right.
God forbid you boo him on that rainy April night. And he says to the media, hey, Juan, what'd you think? You know, 0-for-2, 3 walks and 2 strikeouts when it mattered. And they're booing you. What went through your mind? And he looks into that camera with a death stare and says, I didn't like it. You guys, will you know what your pants
are?
He'll
say, I earned it. I earned that. I'll be better next time.
He doesn't have to, though, Teek.
I'm just kidding.
Every other athlete has to say that because they're married to us as fans. He ain't married to us. And by the way, Met fans, stop chuckling. Y'all think this is so funny, right? He has a bad time with the Yankees. He has a bad time with us.
Right, it's New Yorkers across the board, or tri-state areas.
I'm not saying this is, oh, watch out for the Mets. I haven't even brought them up. I'm saying watch out for it as a whole. So Met fans, you're in a tough spot. Because if you're eyeing their girl, if you're eyeing her, and you're like, oh, we're going to swoop on in, and he wants to leave because Big Mac is booing him on a Tuesday night, or freaking Morash is saying, kiss my fat ass, he's hitting 210. Don't think for a second he's going to say, oh, but Queens is much nicer. That's not going to happen.
By the way, that's Evan just miming Sean's drop. He's not calling him fat.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you for making
that
clear.
Out for you.
I am not calling anybody fat whatsoever. Boy, I got to tell you, I must live in some kind of bubble sometimes. And I watch the news. I listen to the news. But I just heard in that traffic report we played here on WFAN that a plane landed on the Southern State Parkway?
Wow.
What?
Yeah, you must not have paid attention to the last traffic report because we were saying the same thing in the last break.
Oh, you heard it last break?
Right, the last break. I was like, what?
How did a plane land on the Southern State and it didn't hit anybody?
No, it was a single-engine small Cessna plane, I believe.
Gotcha.
And
did people just get out of the way? Like,
I mean, can you imagine driving on the Southern State and a plane just lands?
Like, seriously, what do you do in that situation? You just, like, veer?
Swerve out of the way. Like, what other option do you have?
It's a plane, though. It's like,
well, what are you going to do? Drive right into it? Like, what are you going to do?
I just don't know how you avoid it.
You know, it's crazy about, this was months ago now. I had a very vivid dream because I don't like flying. I'm like your wife. Your wife doesn't like flying either.
Hates it.
And I flew recently. First time I had flown in a year. And I was having nightmares kind of leading up to it. And I had this very vivid dream that I was on a plane and it landed on a highway. Very similar. And then I woke up like before it stopped. which I think is what happens in dreams, because you don't die in your dreams.
No.
Like, it's impossible.
Never,
like, I guess if you die in your dream, you actually die.
Yeah.
So, luckily, I haven't died in my dream because I'm not dead yet.
That's Inception, right?
What does that mean?
That's a movie, Inception.
It's a Christopher Nolan movie, and Tiki's right.
That's no, but what does that have to do with what I'm saying? Is that the theme of the movie?
You die in your dream, because it's, like, it's a weird movie. You got to watch it. But they're like, jumping back into dreams.
Almost like the Matrix.
Yes, but different, because it's in dreams.
Right, Matrix. If you die in the Matrix.
Because then you die.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Real life.
Right.
Oh, okay. Well, or you die outside of the whatever the instant.
No, it makes sense because I haven't died in any dreams.
No.
And I assume that
even
you can't.
Even when you're falling.
Right.
Like, everybody
just
said
that
falling dream. You just kind of wake up.
You just wake up. Yeah. I have some weird dreams, man. But imagine that. You're just driving down the highway and a plane is passing by. So hopefully everybody's okay. Is everybody okay, by the way?
I mean, I think so.
I don't want to make light of this.
Carrying two people. They were being checked out at the scene.
I mean, the plane landed. So, I mean, it didn't crash. It just
near
landed,
exit
right?
33.
So it landed. It didn't crash.
Wow.
So I assume everybody's okay.
You know what's so strange? So I grew up on Long Island, but I grew up in a place on Long Island that's very close to John F. Kennedy Airport.
Mm-hmm.
So at night, planes would rock my bedroom. Like, it would come right over and it would shake, and you just get used to it. Like, you don't think much of it. Same thing when you're driving on the Nassau Expressway, which is close to where I was living and is obviously right near JFK Airport. You're driving on it, and sometimes it looks like the plane's going to land on you. Same thing when you're driving on the Grand Central past LaGuardia. You're driving, and it looks like the plane's going to land on you. And I've just been so used to it because I grew up near an airport. And I think most of us are used to it, especially if you're on the highways I just described. But now, I'm not sure if I'm going to be so used to it. Like, the next time I drive to Citi Field, and I'm on the Grand Central, and all of a sudden, like, this giant plane's on top of me, I'm probably going to pull over.
So going from Jersey, from Newark Airport area over, there's a bridge, it's the Casciano Bridge. The planes going into Newark, they like take this massive bank turn right by the bridge.
Oh.
And it always scares the hell out of me.
You're not used to it yet?
Well, I mean, I am. And usually they're far enough away, but sometimes it's like banking right when I'm there. And it just scares you.
No.
Because you're not used to seeing a plane sideways.
Right, that's right.
Right? Used to seeing them flying flat.
Yeah.
But the thing is, bank sideways and getting ready to pull in for, land somewhere. I don't know, whatever. It's just, it's disconcerting.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm concerned now. Let's go to Mike in New Rochelle. How are you, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
Good, what's up?
The kids are home from school. A pretty young lady wants to say hi to you, T.
Oh, okay.
Hi.
What's
I'm
up?
I'm a big fan, Tiki.
What's that?
I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you being a big fan.
That's my little one, Mia.
Oh,
and
Mia.
I got my big one, 11.
You guys got the whole week of school off?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm the whole that. Week?
Whole week.
Well, we only got a day in New Jersey.
Really?
I'm jealous, Mia. My kids are, for sure.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She was watching you on Saturday. I was watching an old game. I think it was Eli. It was when you were with Eli.
Got it. So back in 04, 05 or so.
I respect that, Mike. Mike spends a Saturday with football season over saying, I'm going to watch old football. Right. I love it.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. But my stamp Oh, my cats want to say what's up. Sal and BT want to say what up. And I actually did name my cat Sal and BT.
Wow. Nice. That has got to be an honor for them.
Right. Jeez, I don't know if we can keep that, but okay.
Every GM, every, you know, VP, they want to put their stamp on the franchise, right?
Right, yes. Right.
This, unfortunately, you know, if you are an Alonzo fan, I believe is going to be Stearns' stamp.
Yeah.
He's going to go a different way. You know, he's not going to go with Alonzo. And I love Alonzo, but I think it's going to go Soto and pitching next year. But,
yeah. Mike, you know why that doesn't make sense to me?
It doesn't, but, I mean, that's a decision that you were talking about that now has to be made.
Yeah, but the whole part that doesn't make sense, though, is that if the Mets have already decided, like if they have already made the decision, you know what? We don't want to pay Pete Alonso. We're going to lose him in free agency. We're going to let him walk away. We prefer to target Juan Soto in pitching. We're done. We're not pursuing Pete Alonso. Then they should have done something I wouldn't like, but they should have traded him.
Last year.
During this offseason.
Oh, during this.
Because I always think you have more value with a full year more teams thinking they're in it than you even do at the trade deadline. Because I know your answer is, well, you'll do it at the trade deadline. No, you won't. Because if the team is good, you're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you also lessen the amount of suitors.
Well, he was also asked about this.
Yeah, he put that one away.
It was a good answer. He's like, I just had my first live BP, so like.
But it's why I understand where Mike's coming from. We're on the same side of this of wanting Pete back. It's why I don't believe the theory that they already know they're moving on from him, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up.
Right. They would have already done it.
Exactly. You would have just ripped the Band-Aid off.
Had reason, because you have a new president GM. It just would have made sense.
Well, it wouldn't have made sense. I would have yelled and screamed.
Not for fans, but it would have made sense. If you don't want him.
Well, it doesn't make sense to do it now. It goes back to the start of the show. We were talking about Saquon Barkley. And my big argument is, if you wouldn't even listen on trade offers back in October, then that shows me you better be interested in keeping him.
Right. There's a value that he had that made you want to keep him then, and now you can't get anything for him, so you need to keep him now.
It wouldn't make sense to not listen on trade offers, but then to decide during the offseason, we don't want him back. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the same thing with Pete Alonso, which is why I don't buy that. Like, I think the Mets are just playing hardball. I think the Mets are saying, you know what? Your analytics and your war, it ain't that high.
Yeah, but
you're going to go to free agency. You're not going to get what you want. And we're confident we'll be the highest bidder. Now, they may be wrong with that calculation, but I think that's the calculation they're taking.
Yeah.
Not the idea of, we don't want him, we're letting him leave.
I think the difference, it's hard because Blake Snell actually fits this mold because he just won the Cy Young, but it hasn't been consistent enough. So Pete's in a category on his own compared to these five that we're talking about with JD and Cody Bellinger and Montgomery and Blake Snell. Pete is the best power hitter, run generator in baseball. He has been for 3 or 4 years now. So when he gets in the free agency, other teams know that. It's not like, oh, well, Blake had this injury. It's, oh, Cody was bad here. Oh, JD's getting up there in little age. Montgomery, eh. Like, there's none of that going to happen.
Right.
So if they don't sign Pete Alonso before, and that's why I think it's not an accident that they're saying we're shutting this down once spring training starts or once the season starts like Aaron Judge did, because the value for Pete is only going to go higher when he's free, because everybody knows that he's the best at what he's doing.
Mm.
Whereas right now, the only team that can negotiate with him is the Mets. They need to value that, but they're not.
No, because I think they will get him at more so their price than what the price is right now for him.
But I think if you're looking at...
They may be wrong, but I think that's the calculation.
Because you think about, like, there's a reason why Blake Snell hasn't signed yet, or teams haven't ponied up the number that he's asking for, and with Jordan Montgomery, and with Cody. Like, there's all reasons. There's no reason not to do it for Pete Alonso.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Pete Alonso, and it's funny. I was saying this the other day to Hoffman when we were talking on the Rico about this. For years, not here on this radio station, because I don't think we care that much about it, but certainly when we got inside on the Mets, we would kind of openly complain how the analytics aren't fair to Pete Alonso, how his war wins above replacement.
Yeah.
It's a guy. That it doesn't accurately indicate how impactful a player Pete is. And it used to bother us. Like, I would joke around. I would read all the guys ahead of Pete Alonso in WAR and say, are these guys better than Pete Alonso? And the answer was obviously no. Like, if you watch baseball and care about baseball, you'd say this doesn't match up.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a while, it would bother us. Oh, he's so disrespected. That thing may help the Mets. Because when he gets to free agency.
The analytics, the advanced analytics.
And the advanced
say,
analytics say he's not that good, which I'm sorry. I watch every Met game. You want to say I'm biased? I'm biased. He is that good. The analytics are wrong, in my opinion. And I've said that for years. But those analytics being harsh on Pete may be good for the Mets because it may lead to him not getting paid as much as he thinks he deserves to get paid. So it's funny how something that bothered you for so long
right,
but may turn out to be beneficial.
But if that is the case, then why isn't Pete saying, let's just get this done now?
Because maybe Scott Boras is saying, don't worry. Those analytics stand nothing to my binder that I'm going to put on every GM's table, and I'm going to promise you the moon, and maybe I'll get it for you. Let's go to Bob in Belmar. What's up, Bob?
Hey, what's going on? Evan, first thing, I just want to say thank you for not constantly saying Juan Soto and the All-Season to the Mets. That's all I hear on the 10 a.m. show. So I want to say thank you on that, first of all. 2 points, and then I'll hang up. First point, I think Juan Soto, I think Yankees have the best chance of re-signing him. Only talks great about the Yankees. Look at all of his press conferences. And maybe the Dodgers get involved. Mariners maybe be a sneaky team. Of course, the Mets. Money talk at the end of the day. And then to my second point, I know you mentioned Yankees really have never had, you know, the signing of a big star after 1 year with them. Aaron Judge, a little bit different, but if you look at last season, Aaron Judge got booed constantly before he got re-signed. Bad relationship with the front office, with Cashman, but they brought him back. So at the end of the day, you know, what's the atmosphere? He sees that playing with Judge and Cole. I think it's a whole different ballgame.
I think that what you're saying can't hurt, but what I've always believed about Juan Soto is that, and this goes back to him turning down the $400 million that he turned down from the Washington Nationals, that man is going to sign with the team that pays him the most
right.
money.
He's always wanted to bet on himself.
He's always wanted to bet on himself. I think he made the right bet, and I think ultimately you could talk to me all day about the Yankee tradition and the Yankee crowd, and I'm not disrespecting you because I don't think it hurts to have that stuff on your side, but I don't think it's the difference maker. I think the difference maker is going to be every last dime. And so here's what I would say, and I think every Yankee fan is going to agree with what I'm about to say. If you're Hal Steinbrenner, you cannot lose, period. And I said that about Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
And to their credit, they got it done.
Despite losing.
Well, you lost, but you won because you ultimately got him back.
Yeah, you played on the sentiment.
You got him back.
Right.
You made a trade for Juan Soto, which I fully support. You made a gamble on Juan Soto for 1 year, which I totally understand. And now when you get to free agency, you cannot be outbid. Mm. That's the way I would look at it.
What if they win the World Series? Is that a caveat?
No.
So either way. No matter what.
You're talking about for me or for the Yankees fan in general?
No, if the Yankees win a World Series and he was a hired whatever and you got him and you won. No?
I think, you know what? If anything, I think it makes it more so that you got to keep him. You just had a long World Series run. You made even more money. There's no reason. And you know this, Loogie. The Yankee belief is very different than us. I think if the Mets won a World Series, we'd be all so, you know, drunk and happy.
Right.
We wouldn't care about tomorrow.
The Yankees would say, we got to do it again.
I think the Yankee fan would say, that's great. Now go come back and build a dynasty.
And in theory, for them to win a World Series, all the players that we've been talking, Judge and Cole and even Rodon and Nest, like all those guys are going to have to play great, right? So if they do it 1 year, why can't they do it again? It's almost like you end up running it back again.
I think it puts more pressure on them.
I 100% agree.
If anything.
It makes you want to run it back again. Not, hey, let's just rebuild and get some young players. That's not what you'll think.
Look,
let's go win another one.
I don't think it matters if it's the Texas Rangers or it's the Mets or it's the Angels or it's the Red Sox or it's the Dodgers or it's the Diamondbacks. If there is a team that outbids you for Juan Soto, I think if you're a Yankee fan, you are marching on the stadium. Mm. Like, you are fuming. And by the way, to my friends out there who are Yankee fans, don't worry about this today. Like, this is, unfortunately,
there's nothing you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it, and it's just, it's not worthy of worrying about today. It's more, and the reason I think it matters and we're talking about it is because he just got to camp.
And he just spoke for the first time.
Just asked about it, and Pete was just asked about it. So it's, like, fresh, and it's there. But both guys are going to get to free agency. And I think both franchises better make sure they don't lose their
this
guy.
This is probably a good time to remind everybody, Sean's not here. He has this, what, you can't boo Juan Soto for
that's
the
right.
entire Yankee
that's
fan,
right.
so I'll be Sean today. A reminder, don't boo Juan Soto. Juan himself said it today. Hey, I'm giving you guys a little trial run. Right. Part of that is don't boo. So Sean was on to something with that.
Here's the question you got to ask yourself, though. What if, because Juan Soto got off to a terrible start in San Diego, to the point where... And I think Hoffman repeated it on your old show, which he should not have done, because I said, you got to gotta supply proper context, Hoff. If you just spout this on the air, people are going to think you got 10 heads. I did some numbers that, for a while, Daniel Vogelbach was a better acquisition than Juan Soto.
Yes.
That Daniel Vogelbach's numbers were actually better than Juan Soto's.
Yes.
And I think he shared it with you and Brandon without any context at all.
None. Yes, we did have that. We're like, what?
So here's the point, though. If Juan Soto performs with the Yankees like he did for the first few months in San Diego, I don't give a rat's ass what Sean has claimed or what you guys listening claim. You're going to boo him.
He'll have earned the boos.
He'll earn the boos.
Yes.
By the way, odds are he's going to struggle outside the... I mean, history has shown you switch leagues, you're on a new team, the pressure. He's probably going to struggle the first month or so. Yankee games early on the year, there's a lot of rain, it's cold, it sucks, you're in a bad mood, it's not baseball season, so you really need to be cognizant of that in April.
Young, is he married?
Juan? I don't know. He's like 24, right?
What does that matter in this equation? What does
that mean? If you're married and moving your family, or they're visiting, or it just becomes a bit of a distraction.
Oh, so you're saying like if his wife hears the booze, she's going to be pissed off?
Yeah. Like, I wonder, like, family, he's like, I hate this place. this place is disgusting.
No, you're right.
I hate it.
These
fans are the worst I've ever seen in my entire life. Get the hell out of here.
You Yankee fans are under a lot of pressure, man. And you know, I'll tell you how I can relate to you. I swear to God this happened. And I told this story before. This is not in my book because I didn't remember the specific game. So it's not in my Mets Bible, which goes on sale April 2nd. When the Mets traded for Mike Piazza in the middle of the 98 season, he was obviously a free agent at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he was hitting about 340. I'm not joking. Like, he was hitting 340. But to many Met fans, it wasn't enough. That keeps that in mind, Yankee fans.
Seeing eye singles. They
Why? Because he only had like 8 home runs or something?
So... There was a guy next to me at the old Loge Box at Chase Stadium who booed Mike after he grounded into a double play. Mm. And I got very upset. And I was upset, A, because I thought the guy was an idiot. And then B, believe it or not, 26 years earlier, I was thinking the same thing. Like, why are we booing this guy? Like, this could turn him off. He's a free agent at the end of the year. He's hitting 340. He's getting booed at Chase Stadium.
Well, that's different.
What are we doing?
That's different.
It's not different, though.
It is, because if Juan Soto's hitting 340... I think Yankee fans are going to be more than thrilled.
Oh, you think they're better
especially than... Especially if his on-base percentage is, I don't know, way the hell up.
You think you're better than us?
No.
Why? So Met fans are stupid and Yankee fans are smart,
no,
right?
No, I just think context has changed.
No, here's the context. When I got mad at the guy for booing him and I said, what the F is wrong with you? He said he never gets the big hit. And I said, dude, he's hitting 340. He's like, yeah, all meaningless. Context matters. You're right. Like, Yankee fans used to say that about A-Rod. Oh, yeah, he had 50 home runs. 45 of them were with a 7-run lead. Like, fans are stupid and we're crazy. And so I got mad at the guy and we argued. And look, did I win out? Not really, because Piazza got booed a lot in that season.
Right.
Now, ultimately, Mike was a tough guy. He got the money from the Mets during the signing window. He actually never got to true free agency because he signed in that exclusive window and the Mets kept him. And happy ending. But I thought the same thing that we're talking about right now with Yankee fans about, hey, be careful, you don't want to boo the guy. I was yelling at one of my fellow Met fans, and they were booing Piazza, who wasn't even having a bad year.
Yeah.
See, here's what you have to remember, Tiki. When a guy comes here with enormous expectations like Mike Piazza did, like Juan Soto did, logic is out the window.
True.
Logic doesn't even matter.
True, but this feels, and I mentioned the era, because this feels like a hypersensitive athlete era. Like, athletes are so much more aware of what everybody says and thinks about them or writes about them or what opinion the front office has about you or your teammates or whatever the heck it is. They're very sensitive to it. I'm not saying Juan specifically is. I'm just saying in general. In that era, Mike Piazza, it probably felt just like baseball.
Okay, but
it
to your point.
It didn't feel like the whole town or the whole city is attacking me.
You may be right, but also with times changing, you know what else has changed?
What's
fans
that?
Are even worse.
Oh, of course.
So the odds of booing are higher today than they were in 1998.
Yeah, but I would trust
And in 1998, we were booing a guy hitting 340.
But I also would trust that the fan is more educated. So if Juan Soto is hitting 330, let's not even get him to 340, and he's walking a lot and he's scoring runs and he's getting on base ahead of Judge and things are working. If he has a little, they're not going to boo him. Because
okay. I'm going to make believe I'm a Yankees fan in the upper deck.
He's not getting the big hit in the big moment.
I just booed Juan Soto, and you're at the game, and you're like, yeah. Hey, why'd you boo Juan Soto? Watch what happens. Boo! Boo! Ask me why.
Why are you booing Juan Soto?
I don't care what his on base is. I don't care what his OPS is. Every freaking big spot, this guy's looking at strike three. What are you looking for? What the hell are you looking for? What do you think? How do you argue with that, Tiki?
I don't. I just go change my seat someplace else.
Well, to me, that's why Soto has to bat in front of Judge, because if Soto's batting behind him and he takes a walk and Stanton strikes out or grounds it to a double play, you will hear that. Why did he walk? Why didn't he get the big hit? Why didn't he swing the bat? Now, if you take a walk and Judge is up next, you'll live with it. So that's why that batting order is key.
And here's the other thing. If Judge doesn't come up with the big hit after Soto walks, Judge will take the heat.
And you live with it. It's Judge.
Because he's Aaron Judge.
And he's fine because he's used to it. He's homegrown here and he's paid already.
But look.
So it's fine for Aaron Judge to take the heat.
But trust me.
What leaders do.
Of course.
So he's got the C on his chest.
That's right.
Not literally, but figuratively.
But trust me, fans, and I've been a part of it, we're irrational. So when you say, oh, they won't poop, he's hitting 330, welcome to Earth. I mean, of course we will. And I agree. I think Sean Morash's idea of a no-boo policy towards Juan Soto is his best idea. I agree with his idea. I just think that some great ideas, like, they don't work. Like, I got a lot of great ideas for our country. They don't work. Like, they just won't work in execution.
It's because you're not running for office.
I'm thinking about it, though.
You should.
Chris is in Flint, Michigan. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Chris?
Hey, Tiki, Evan. How's it going, guys?
Good, dude. Thank you, man.
Thanks. What's up?
All right. Evan, I got to tell you, man, you got to do anything and everything in your power to get the rights to read your own audio.
Damn right.
It's a game changer, man. I listen to audiobooks at work. It probably keeps me alive 50% of the time, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But your voice, your cadence, delivery, and your passion is a game changer, and you have got to do it. I'm a huge Mets fan, and, you know, being here in Michigan, it's a little weird, but...
Chris, you're saying exactly what I told Evan before. There's moments of excitement I don't know, someone who doesn't know what that excitement means.
That's right.
Just because he's reading the word, he can't do it.
That's right. Who else could read live in L.A. for the Ryan Church game? My longtime midday partner, Joe Beningo, and I love to travel. In 2008, we went to Los Angeles to see an NBA Finals game and the Mets play a series in Anaheim against the Angels.
I'm a loser.
We were treated to a Mets win and the firing of Willie Randolph in the middle of the night. But we had so much fun, we decided to do it again 1 year later. Our producer at the time was Greg Giannotti, who's blossomed into a star at our radio station.
Wrap your legs around me, and I'll give you a ride.
Now hosting the morning show with Boomer Esiason.
By the way, I just heard something.
He joined us as we... Well, go ahead.
Which is why you have to read this book.
Go ahead.
You have to.
Why?
In fact, you have to insist. If they tell you that you didn't read well enough, tell them to go kick rock. Or kiss ass.
I was going to say.
Whatever it is.
He could kiss my ass.
Because your book is written in the first person.
That is true. It's got to be me.
It's got to be
you.
Can
you imagine some random person reading my longtime midday partner
kiss ass?
You're right. It has to be you. Seriously. And if they don't, you need to read it yourself.
Oh, Jesus. I mentioned Tatiana in this book.
Who is that?
Our trip got off to a wild start when we met a nice woman poolside at the hotel named Tatiana, who wasted no time showing us a picture of a famous NFL player's genitalia that she had on her phone.
That's a lie.
I feel my meat.
Yeah, no, this is in my book, yeah. I forgot I talked about that. Goodbye, SNY. Now, that's a tease right there.
Wow.
That's right.
I'm whipping one out.
Tatiana.
Oh, glad I don't know a Tatiana.
Gio remembers. Joe remembers.
That was fun.
Yeah, I think I will be able to read my own book. I have to audition for it, though, first.
No, you don't.
That's what they told me.
You make a demand.
They said I have to audition to read my audio book.
It's in the first person. It's more valuable as a piece of art, audio art, if it's actually the person who wrote it talking about his own experience.
Nah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
It doesn't make any other sense otherwise.
God, if they don't hire me for this, Tiki's going to protest.
I am.
Tiki's going to say, what are you
doing? I'm only buying 50 books.
I like that.
You could also get Tatiana to read it. You'd sell a hell of a lot more books that way.
Tatiana, boy, that was crazy.
Come bearing pictures.
Can you give us a hint on the athlete? Give us a sport.
A football player.
It was Tiki. I can't believe it.
I just told you. I do not know a Tatiana.
Doesn't whip out the jumbo pack. You think while me, Giannotti, and Beningo were poolside in L.A., someone just randomly showed us a picture of Tiki's Tiki?
Absolutely. I watch Vanderpump Rules. L.A. is a crazy place.
Stop watching that show.
It looks like such a kinky sex activity.
We'll come back and get more of your calls in at 877-337-6666, plus a huge night for the New York Rangers. No team in the history of the NHL has ever won a Stanley Cup and then had to play 2 days later. And the Rangers are facing that at Madison Square Garden tonight. Sean Morash is not here. He obviously was at the parade and was in no condition to show up to work today. But will the Rangers be in condition to show up to work tonight? I mean, they did win a Stanley Cup the other day. Bitch, New York Ranger fan. I didn't say that, by the way. I don't know where that came from. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.